My name is Junichi Yamagishi. I'm from Edinburgh, UK. As you can see, I'm sad authors, but last night we did, you know, flip the coins, and then I was lost, so I have to present this one instead of first or second authors. But anyway, to begin with, I show some BBC articles which mentions vocal terrors. Outside the screens. This says computer could mimic human speech so perfectly that vocal terrorism could be a new threat in 10 to 15 years' time, science suggested. In the future, it may be possible to mimic someone's voice exactly after the recording just one sentence. So such a technology would pose dangers, of course, other problems. If it were not possible to verify who was speaking, research did. And then, yep, so these problems pose a problem to speaker verification systems too. So in this talks, we evaluated how secure the speaker verification systems are against synthetic speech that can clone someone's speech voices using just 10 sentences, not one sentence, but we can clone arbitrary speaker's voice from 10 sentences. So this is the content of my talk. I will talk about some general introductions and background, and then we explain our attacking scenarios to be assumed. Then I will show some of our previous work, which was present in ICASP this year. And then I will explain our speaker verification systems, followed by speech synthesis systems used for testing. And then I will show experimental conditions and, of course, results. And then I will show some trials to detect synthetic speech in speaker verifications using a method called IFDAL and also ASR's word error rate. And then I will summarize my talk after that. So, general background. So it is known that, you know, normal text-prompted speaker verification systems has some, you know, vulnerabilities to TTS systems, text-to-speech synthesis systems. In the conventional research or conventional scenarios, TTS systems assumes are basically uniselection TTS systems plus so-called voice conversion techniques. Uniselection is just cut and paste of recorded waveforms, and GMM transform, so someone's voice, to target speaker's voice using, you know, joint probability or GMM trained on parallel corpus. Since any utterances for verifications, of course, can be synthesized from only text input, and also since output waveforms or synthesizer can be transformed into a specific targeted person's voice using these GMMs, so these combinations pose problems to speaker verification systems, text-prompted speaker verification systems. But our TTS systems is different from these uniselection systems. So our TTS systems are HM-based speech synthesis systems plus speaker adaptation, such as MLLRs, which everyone knows. These systems also cause a problem to speaker verifications because speaker adaptations can transform speaker-independent HMMs, which are called average voice models in TTS fields into the target person's voice using small amount of data. And then after that, any utterances for verifications can be synthesized from adaptive models. So these systems also cause a problem to speaker verifications. But we believe these test systems is more problematic, more dangerous than these combinations, I believe. Of course, I'll explain the reason later. And this problem was firstly reported by Maskos 10 years ago. So why do we revisit these issues? There are several reasons. The first reason is performance, HTS, HM-based speech synthesis systems. So performance of HTS, HM-based speech synthesis was drastically improved quite recently. In fact, the quality of HM-based speech synthesis is now comparable to uniselection systems. And then, further, its intelligibility outperforms in interactions. More specifically, intelligibility of HMBSP synthesis is same as human speech. And also, speaker adaptation techniques for speech synthesis also enhance quite maybe within a couple of years, we can do speaker adaptations in unsupervised manner, like to SRs, which adopt two-pass or multi-pass speaker adaptation approaches. And also, we may be able to use, we can use noisy data, imperfect clean speech data, imperfect data, as adaptation data. So, taken together, it is now possible to automatically create targeted speakers' TTS voices from any accessible audio files which attackers can find nowadays, which means audio files, for example, available on the web, can be used for attacking speaker verification systems. So attacking scenarios to be assumed in this scenario is as follows. Speech data is first acquired from broadcast or podcast or lectures like this. You know, we can record my speech like this. I think my speech might be recorded tonight. But anyway, so we can acquire speech from both broadcast, podcast, lectures, or telephones. Then using this acquired speech data, the attacker can adapt HMBSP synthesis systems offline in advance. Then using the adapted models, the attacker can synthesize speech for verifications, used for speaker verification systems. And then we prepare actual samples which match to these scenarios. So we create a synthetic speech from George W. Bush podcast and also Queen Elizabeth II podcast. I hope you know these guys. And then synthetic speech, this, you know, I play a couple samples, and these synthetic speech samples are generated from HMS adapted using his podcast and also her podcast. So first sample is George Bush.
In October 2001, after the attacks on September 11, 2001, Bush announced a global war on terrorism and ordered an invasion of Afghanistan to overthrow the Taliban, destroy Al-Qaeda, and to capture Osama bin Laden.
So his adapted voice is reading Wikipedia's on George Bush corners. And then, next one, Queen Elizabeth II.
Chancellor, I would like to present the director of the Center for Speech Technology Research, Professor Steve Reynolds.
Can you identify her? How many people from UK is? Maybe. And of course, we can synthesize this speech real time. So these systems access servers in Edinburgh and send it.
This is the voice trained on podcast.
We can synthesize George Bush voices real times within a sec. So let's go back to let's go back to talk. So I hope you understand the security issues of this approach. And then we did some experiments and showed the results in ICASP 2010 in DAS. So we use speech synthesis databases which have perfectly clean web speech uttered by only 10 German speakers. And then we built very, very simple speaker verification systems using 10 speakers. But we tried various kinds of systems, such as, of course, standard GM and UBM, and also, you know, Gaussian super vectors with SVM, which, you know, some people in this room use by now, and, you know, sort of with score normalizations, future normalizations. But point is, there is no significant difference from attacker point of views, because in most of the cases, the speaker verification systems accepted the claim from C6 speech voice, which, you know, I played just now. So in this talk, I report on the GM UBM systems. But of course, we have these systems. But conclusion is basically the same. So this is a results, previous results of score distributions from 10 German speakers. This green line shows the score for human speech targeted speakers. And this is the humans. Red curve shows the human speech. Of course, this is the impostures. And this is a synthetic speech versions of impostures, which is not so relevant in this talk. Which is irrelevant in this talk. And then this is a synthetic speech versions of target speakers. I mean, green one, green black distribution shows synthetic speech of target persons. So as you can see, these score distributions for humans and synthetic speech for both impostures and also, of course, true claimants are nearly identical. In other words, we cannot distinguish them in speaker verification systems. But of course, there's lots of problems in our previous experiments because number of speakers is just 10, which is too small, of course. And then the speech data used was perfectly clear speech data. But you know, in our attacking scenario, speech data acquired would be, you know, is assumed to be not perfectly clean. So, in this talk, in this new talk, so we use 300 speakers included in Wall Street Journal 0 and Wall Street Journal 8, so-called SI284 set. This is much better than TTS corpus because this is relatively clean. In other words, it's not perfect clean. It's similar to office environment. And thus, the speakers and speech data are more realistic conditions in our attacking scenarios. And also, we report the accuracy of the conventional method to detect synthetic speech in speaker verification systems. For example, Sato reported a method to detect synthetic speech in speaker verification systems in 2001. But again, the quality of synthetic speech becomes much better than 2001. So we re-evaluate this method as well as other method to confirm the problem of these impostures using speaker adaptive agent-based synthesis. And this is a summary of our GMM UBM systems. I think quite standard. We use 1,024 components. We use 50 MLCC, their deltas, log energies, and its deltas. We apply future warping to improve robustness proposed by them. We adapt this GMM using MAP adaptations. In addition to Wall Street Journal corpus, we evaluated this GMM UBM systems using NIST 2002 corpus, which has 330 speakers, and then equal error rate was 12%, about 12%, and which is comparable performance with results reported in these papers. So probably this system would be the standard. This is a quite rough overview of current speaker adaptive HMSP synthesis. So current speaker adaptive HMSP synthesis, you know, it's very complex. It's as complex as, you know, multi-pass large vocabulary containing speech recognizers. But roughly speaking, so we use basically the same technique as SRs for training average voice models, which is basically similar or identical to UBM or speaker independent HMS. So we use speaker adaptive training, SAT SAT, to train average voice models. Then we adapt these SAT models using MLRs, maximum likelihood linear regressions, or, you know, constrained MLRs, or its MAP versions of CMLRs, using small amount of data of target speech. Then we generate acoustic parameters, such as vocal tract parameters or pitch or durations, or some noise component for mixed excitations from these adapted HMMs using maximum likelihood parameter generation algorithms proposed by Toputas in 1995. So this technique is similar to Kalman-Simusas. And then using this generated acoustic parameters, we run high quality vocoder called Straight proposed by Kawaharas. And then, so this is the adaptations. So we can create new TTS voices from three minutes of speech data. Of course, if speech data is available, more quality becomes better. But minimum 3 minutes is required amount of data. And then currently we have 2,000 voices adapted, and this small bit shows adapted individual speakers, and then red marker shows female speakers, and then this blue marker shows male speakers adapted or cloned. And as you can see, United States are covered by these voices, and also China and Japan and UK, and this is the Finnish and some Spanish voices. And then, of course, my question is, how many voices available in this map can fool the speaker verification systems? So again, so our scenario is not building TTS systems on speaker verification databases, which is normally, narrow band, or lots of noise, or maybe, or far-field microphones. So our scenario is, our scenario is to acquire speech data relatively quiet places like these rooms, then adapt the TTS system also fine. So we use, we use Postway Journals, and this database is, short set of this database is, has 284 speakers. We exclude one speaker for some very technical reasons, and we use 283 speakers, and then we divide this SI-284 set speaker materials into three sets, A, B, C, below. And set A is for training data for TTS. In this set A, we train average voice models followed by speaker adaptation to individual speakers. We use CML error, constraint ML error for adaptations. Set B is training data for speaker verification systems. We train universal background models in normal manners. And we adapt the models using MAP. In set C is the test data, which have 3 seconds of speech data per speakers. And this set C is assumed to speech data reading text prompt used for verifications. I will play a couple samples generated from this TTS trained on this Wall Street Journal databases.
Last week, stock prices were sent tumbling by skittish investors, many of whom are concerned with double quote stagflation, period, double quote.
On this barbara sections.
Again, we could hear the shrill sound of the whistle and the sound of the broken glass, period.
If people at every level of society are deprived of the authority commensurate with their duties, they quickly lose their motivation and their sense of responsibility.
But there is no guarantee that he will still be in power when the Soviets owe $60 billion.
So due to the strong reverberations, it will be difficult to distinguish these voices. This is a dead curve, decision error trade, very rough decision error trade of curve for human speech, not synthetic speech. And as you can see, equal error rate is just 0.5. This is a false alarm probabilities, and this is a misdetection probabilities. So we can see speaker verifications of human speech of this Wall Street Journal corpus is relatively easy. But that's fine. We can say our speaker verification systems can verify or can distinguish the speakers, real speakers, perfect, almost perfectly. And then this is a result, human speech versus synthetic speech. This is a score distributions, which are similar to previous ones. Again, this is a human speech for target speech speakers. And this is a synthetic speech versions of target speakers. And this is a human speech impostures. And this is synthetic speech versions of impostures. So distributions of this score distributions are not identical anymore. But as you can see, they have significant overlap. In fact, in matched Clayman test, where synthesized voice claim to be their human counterparts, about 90% of synthetic speech claimers were accepted. So 300 multiplied, so 260 voice or 260 voices was accepted. So summary, so first, so despite the excellent performance of the speaker verification systems, which have 0.5 error rate, equal error rate, the speaker identity, so the speaker, so synthesized speech generated from speaker adaptive HMS speech synthesis is high enough to allow these synthesized voices to pass for true human claimants. Accuracy was 90% of voices was accepted. Because they have significant overlap, adjustment of decision thresholding or standard score normalization techniques are unlikely to help. So of course problem is how can we distinguish them? You know, we are not vocal terrorists, so we are researchers. So we tried this detection method using the conventional method, which are interframe differences of light wave, for short IFDAA proposed by Satos, and also we used SR's word error rate, and we confirmed they are still secure enough or not. Average interframe differences of light wave is very simple. It's just differences of light wave of current frames and previous frame. This is the light wave of current frames and this is the previous frame. And we simply average them. This is simple, but it was useful to detect synthetic speech because synthetic speech generated from HMMs used to tend to have over-smooth trajectories, which result in smaller average IFDAL at the time. And also, synthetic speech using unit selections tend to have jump of trajectories at that concatenation point, which result in larger average IFDAL. But the current TTS, current HMBSP synthesis, includes some global time variation models proposed by Toda, which can avoid over-smoothing effect of trajectories. In fact, this is a result of average IFDAA. Blue line shows a human speech, IFDAA of humans, and the same ones of synthetic speech. And that distribution shows the results for synthetic speech. As you can see, they have quite overlap, and therefore, this measure is no longer robust enough to detect synthetic speech for state-of-the-art HMBSP synthesis, I'm afraid. We tested SR word error rate because in speech perception fields, it is called synthetic speech mainly generated from new selections, have less intelligibility than human speech. So we thought it might be possible to see the intelligibilities of synthetic speech via word error rates of SRs. We prepared two grammars. Grammar 3 is yet to be easy, and grammar 4 is yet to be difficult, and evaluate word error rate of human speech and also synthetic speech. This is a word error rate, and this is a sentence error rate. As you can see, interestingly, synthetic speech was found to have better word error rate than humans on both grammars. So humans word error rate is about 10%, on the other synthetic speech word error rate is just 3%. Even in the difficult grammars, yeah, there are huge differences. And then this is true even for the adaptation data, it's just 1 minute of speech data. So it is not ideal to utilize word error rate of SR to detect synthetic speech. I will summarize my talk. Despite the excellent performance of speaker verification systems, again, speaker HMB, speaker identity of synthesized speech generated from speaker.hms speech synthesis, sometimes it's called HTS, is high enough to allow these synthesized voices to pass for true human claims. This implies the speech data available, for example, on podcast, can be used for impostures in speaker verification systems easily. I don't know how many people use podcasts, but all the podcasts can be used for verification. So impostures against speaker verification systems. And then conventional method using conventional methods such as IFDFF or Wadelite to detect synthetic speech was no longer robust enough. But nevertheless, this security issues, we currently try to release this voice cloning or speak adaptation tools for free or on the web. We currently try to provide web-based voice cloning services. Probably you don't know why, right? So these techniques, we have a lot of demands from hospitals for these techniques. So the National NHS, National Health Services of UK, and I and we try to put these services at UK hospitals because these techniques can clone people who have Parkinson's disease or, for example, motor neuron disease, which have difficulties to speak. And these techniques can recover or can copy someone's, such as speaker's voice, and use a voice, we can use such a voice in their embedded devices as voice communication aid. So, in other words, we need to develop new features or strategies to discriminate synthetic voice, and human speech as soon as possible. That's our message. That's all.
Well, thanks for the presentation. There are questions?
Thank you for a very interesting talk. I think it's really of crucial importance, this issue, for those of us who might be thinking of developing speaker recognition technology with a view to preventing credit card fraud and that type of application. I'm almost inclined to think that by the time we're ready to field that sort of application, the guys working on speech transformation will be ready to fool us. So we really do have to start thinking about how to address your last
exactly.
Problem at this stage.
Yeah. So currently, like I said, the 90% of the voices were accepted. So even speaker verifications claims two samples shown are identical people or identical persons, we have to doubt they are true speech or not.
So the suggestion I make, okay, as to how we might go about forestalling this threat, would be by an extension of methods like joint factor analysis. In joint factor analysis, we have a speaker space and a channel space or a session variability space, which is supposed to cover the type of session effects that arise naturally when a given speaker is talking under different circumstances. Here we're looking at a different class of effects which arise through speech synthesis. So what might be possible if we can get enough synthetic data like this would be to model another type of subspace in a joint factor analysis type framework that would enable us to detect when this is actually going on. Mm-hmm. Of course, in order to do it, we would need data. And that would perhaps be the real challenge.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting questions. Okay, so synthetic speech may be latent variables in joint factor analysis methods. Mm. Yeah, that's
a question.
Might be possible.
Please. I would like to say, we did some similar work as published in ICASP 2008 paper. So there we also try to verify if the synthesized or transformed, like basically generative speech will be threat to the speaker identification system. So we also did experiment on the Wall Street Journal database. And then, so there we can compare the two types of speaker identification system. One is based on like UBM GMM, like using the low-level acoustic features. And the other one is kind of high-level speaker identification system, and such as the phonetic speaker ID. So what we found is since the generated speech is the low-level-based, low-level feature-based speaker identification system is more vulnerable to be to be easily to be fooled by the generated speech. But looks like the high-level speaker identification system is not like it's more robust compared to the low-level feature-based system. So like. As the example George W. Bush speech you just played, and then it looks like there you can still like identify the speaking, how to say, speaking rhythm or tempo is not natural. So probably I'm not sure if you have done experiments also using another type of speaker verification system using the high-level features that's beyond the temporal features, like modeling the long-range like some characteristics. Probably that will be more robust against the generated speech. So basically, the speaker identification and the voice transformation or morphing can be two can compete with each other, and then probably to do this win-win competition. So yeah, we can probably also borrow some findings from the speech synthesis or generation field, and then try to make speaker identification system more robust, and then also from our experiments, the finding is for the speech synthesis, you probably need to look at long range features or some kind of those kind of features to improve the naturalness or to get close to the target speaker.
Sorry, we have no time. I just had my question it's similar. You trained both the UBM and the adaptation system on the same data. What would happen if you change the UBM, for example?
So I ask some questions. We use GMA UBM systems and those SVM systems with Gaussian means, kernels, but we haven't tried such a long time futures. Such as long time variations of Kepler-Sturm or something. We are kind of in new futures. We have one new futures which is really promising at this point. So I will show the results probably next ICAS or next InterSpeech. We found the new promising futures, but that's not long time. Futures.
Sorry.
Long time span futures. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, thank you again.